This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
All right, thank you. Our next speaker is going to be Liza Gross, senior science writer and editor at Public Library of Science. She was copy chief at Parenting Magazine and specialized in toxics and environmental health at Sierra Magazine, where she produced a special report on the environmental links to breast cancer. As a staff writer for San Francisco's Exploratorium, she was inspired by founding director Frank Oppenheimer's vision that giving people the tools to understand scientific phenomena would help them engage with the world around them and benefit society at large. She wrote an article called Follow the Money about the industry's influence, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about it.
Thanks very much, Alexandra. As Alexandra told you, I am a science journalist and write mostly about wildlife and ecology, but also environmental health, which I got interested in the late 90s when I started reading about environmental links to breast cancer and the influence of money on both the study and the politics of breast cancer. So there's kind of a natural evolution to look at this flame retardant issue, which I got interested in when I first heard Arlene talk about it. And I guess I was surprised but not really shocked to learn that the same toxic chemicals that were banned for use in one product decades ago were then showing up in other products today. And I knew there had been several attempts to pass legislation to regulate flame retardants, and I knew that environmental groups and advocates had been saying that the bills failed because the chemical industry had spent millions of dollars to defeat the legislation. But as a journalist, I can't just accept that, so I started looking, and I found that no journalist had actually documented this. So I started investigating the issue, and I started digging into public records, public records databases, to sort of find out how much money there was, who spent the money, how they spent it, which legislators got it, and how they voted. And I thought this was a really important story because the public has a right to know how much money their representatives are taking from powerful interests, especially when those interests are producing products that could have potential harmful impacts on the environment and public health. So this is the CalAccess website, and this is where you can find all sorts of data on campaign and lobbying expenditures. And by law, candidates and lobbyists have to disclose any financial activities related to political campaigns and lobbying. And so from this website, I downloaded hundreds of spreadsheets. Basically, you know, with all sorts of data on what sort of money politicians were taking and how much lobbying groups were paying for lobbying activities and what kinds of lobbying activities. And so as you can see from this slide, you can search by who's giving, who's receiving. There are all sorts of different searches you can do through this interface. And so what I did was I analyzed 5 years of campaign donation records for, at this point, over these 5 years, 130 legislators had a chance to vote on five different bills. Four bills had been authored and introduced by Senator Leno, and one by Representative Sally Lieber. So there were five total bills. And then what I did was I cross-referenced the results for each legislator against contributions from major donors, individual chemical companies. So there are like these long list of things I was doing to cross-reference to make sure that I could catch all of the donations, because as you could sort of see at the very bottom of this slide, that searches are limited by the quality of data provided by filers, and so I just would have to say that the data was often pretty spotty and repetitive, and there was a lot of stuff omitted. So it really did take quite a bit of sort of poring over this stuff to make sure that I was getting what I needed and what I thought was a pretty accurate picture. And I would have to clarify or sort of give a caveat to the figures that I have, because I'm sure these are just, this is like the bare minimum. I'm sure there is more money involved. And so so then I analyzed 5 years of the voting records to see how legislators voted, to basically compare how much money they got from flame retardant interests to how they voted on the different bills. And this is information that you can find on this official site for the California Legislature. You can look for any bill by any session, any electoral year. And so then through the CalAccess site, I also downloaded probably 100 forms that looked at lobbying interests and who they approached, just to sort of figure out how much the chemical industry was spending on each bill and on approaching the various legislative, the regulatory agencies in Sacramento. So by law, lobbyists have to list any agencies or any bills they've lobbied during each quarter. And I should just, so all this information is also available through CalAccess. And I should just say that the disclosure requirements are minimal and the lobbyists really do not volunteer any information. So just to point that out. And so what I found, so since 2007, I found that as evidence of the health risks of flame retardants grew, the chemical industry spent at least, and I'm going to say at least for pretty much every figure I give you, $23.2 million in campaign contributions and lobbying expenses to influence California officials and legislators as they were considering bills to regulate flame retardants. And I should say that the donations are kind of small potatoes because there's a limit on donations. I'll come back to that in a second. 97% of the money went to lobbying. And so just briefly, I'll just go through the top recipients of industry money. And I would also say that I'm not suggesting there's a quid pro quo in any way. I'm just telling you what I found. And I will also say that none of these people who receive this much money from the chemical industry, and it doesn't really seem like a lot in some ways, none of them voted for flame retardants for whatever reasons. And I did ask each one of them for the reasons, and only one really spoke to the issue at hand. One person said, actually, Gloria Negrete McLeod said she doesn't talk about this issue. I'm not sure what was up with that, but she wouldn't speak about this issue. Others were not available to comment, and Ed Hernandez basically said that it's really a complicated issue because there's science on both sides, and he didn't know how to make sense of it. And also, he was really concerned about, he had seen images of children dying in fires, and it was a really hard issue for him to, he didn't want to err on the side of, you know, the flame retardants might be protecting. So that's pretty much what he told me. So then, just to give you the totals for how much industry spent on campaign contributions, of the $23.2 million total, they donated $600,000 to legislators who faced votes on these five flame retardant bills. And again, I should say, this is a conservative estimate because I didn't count other manufacturers of flame retardants that would be Exxon, Dow, Occidental, and Chevron. They make flame retardants, but they had very many other issues before the legislature during this period. But they, if I had included their $752,000, I think it was, that they donated to the legislators, there would have been $1.3 million spent on campaign donations. So, as I mentioned, the top four recipients did not ever vote in favor of regulating the bill, the flame retardants. And as I also said, these donations really pale in comparison to what the industry spent on lobbying. And I'm going to let Senator Leno, if he chooses, to address why industry spends so much more on lobbying than on donations. But I can tell you that there's a limit to how much corporations and individuals can donate. So you can only donate $3,900 per assembly person or senator in any given calendar year or electoral cycle. And there's a higher limit for small committees. That's $7,900. But most of these fell under the $3,900 limit. So as I said, lobbying is really where the big money is. And this chart is a breakdown of where all the money goes. And I'll just quickly go through what the different categories are. There are four categories that lobbyists are allowed to donate under. So there's the payments to in-house lobbyists, payments to lobbying firms, and there are what's called activity expenses. And these are basically, believe it or not, wine and cheese receptions, dinners, informational seminars. The chemical industry is big on giving informational seminars, I noticed in the documents. And then the last category is called other payments to influence. And this is an incredibly nebulous category. I'll just mention that. And then just quickly go through where the money breaks down in these four categories. So of $22.5 million spent on lobbying, $3 million went to the lobbying firms themselves. A little over $1 million went to in-house lobbyists, and only about $30,000 went to activity expenses. But I think that's probably an underestimate because $18 million went to other payments to influence, which really is only defined if you look up what the definition is. It is basically over office overhead and paying fees to expert witnesses and other expenses. And I have no idea what those other expenses are because the lobbyists aren't required to disclose anything beyond that. So I just want to make one point. I'll just do real quickly then. A couple things to just bring home the point of the lobbyists. When I was working on this story, which I did for Environmental Health News, Senator Leno told me that every time after he visited his colleagues to talk about his last bill, SB 147, he said that almost without exception, as he was leaving the office, there was a lobbyist for the chemical industry in the waiting room waiting to get the last word in. And he also mentioned there were 10 of them and one of me. So, and I won't get into, there's some other cynical moves that the lobbyists used. For instance, bringing in fire victims to testify in front of the committee to sort of raise fear and doubt about these things, which apparently worked for Ed Hernandez if he was being truthful with me, and I have no evidence that he was not. And so let's just... I could quickly go down the big spenders. I'll just quickly go through that slide. And basically, Burstyn Marsteller, which is an international huge PR firm, was representing the Bromine Science and Environmental Forum, which is an outfit that sounds like a scientific entity, but it's not. It's a trade group. So they spent a lot of the money mostly on other payments to influence. And then I'll just mention the American Chemistry Council also spent most of that money that way. But these two, the Burstyn Marsteller and American Chemistry Council, spent the large majority of their funds during the time that Senator Leno's AB 706, the bill to ban halogenated flame retardants, was being considered. They spent close to half of the money that they spent during that period. So they were pretty upset about that particular bill. I guess just quickly, I will say when I asked the industry for the response, they basically just said, you know, how they spent all that money during that one period. They just basically said that we abide by all the rules and there's nothing more to say. And so as you've been seeing these charts, I don't have the graph to show you, but they're just there are more and more studies that have been done even since, 2011 that are looking at evidence of harm and health effects in the environment on these flame retardants. So I guess I'll stop there. So.
Thank
you. You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.